I needed you to say those words. I needed you to feel them. What you sing, you believe. The words and resonance of your own body help confirm the thing, the true thing in any song. When you were little and listening to the radio, you could sing, you know, ballads and, you know, heartbreak songs and, you know, lost love songs and all that stuff, even though you didn't know anything about those things, because you could feel the true thing in the music, right? That character in the musical, they might lie to another character in their words, but you know when they start singing, you're getting the truth, right? That's the inward mind. But sometimes you can go back to a song that you love, and it can feel hollow. Ever have that happen? You had a favorite song, almost wore out that record. Yes, I had records. We wore them out. And then you go back, and it doesn't quite hit the same spot. It can feel a little hollow. I know that there have been times in my life where I've gone back to this psalm. This song, and its truth has not really connected with me. And so it's why I'm thankful that there is a practice that we have, that we keep coming back to these words on a regular basis. We reread these words of Scripture because we need the reminder. We live in a world in which we can easily lose our own sense of being a beloved and wondrous creation of God, the way this psalm sings, a God who loves us and has dreamed of the fullness of our lives before we even were. We can lose it in any number of ways, belovedness. But one of the most painful ways is to encounter its loss, its violation, by somebody who claims that they love us. It is one of the most profound errors we can make in our lives individually or as a collective community or society, to diminish this sense of belovedness, of worth, in another. It robs us of that mystery that the psalmist captured and sang out, the mystery that God placed in us from the start. It happens all the time, this loss. It happens, and so often it calls itself love while it does. It happens, and it traps us and others in cycles of violence and fear and oppression. In Maine, it happens, or at least it is reported happening, every 2 hours and 5 minutes or so. That's how often domestic violence is reported in the state of Maine. We need to remember the words to this song of belovedness more often than every 2 hours, I would say, then. We need to remember it so that we can hear its echoes and can be clear. Particularly us here in this building on a Sunday. We need to be clear, recognizing that in the past and in the present, people have used our own scriptures, or simply the cultural power of the church, to insist that individuals suffering at the hand of another should, quote, bear the cross they have been given. Twisting things around until it sounded like Jesus was just another sham telling victims to stand by their man. So let me be clear. Jesus came to know our lives and indeed our pain and transform it, not to invite us into his. And since we're just a few weeks away from Advent, let me just say Jesus came to be incarnate to remind us that humanity is precious and bears the very imprint of the divine. A living, walking song of this psalm, fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to remember this song so that when individuals or churches try to lift up stories in the Bible or from traditions of the church in which spouses and partners are treated as property or less than, or they try and lift up theologies with images of gender that are more informed by the Roman Empire that Jesus opposed than through Jesus' teaching, so that we can say clearly to them, the Bible says all sorts of things, But have you listened to what it sings? Because it sings of belovedness for each and for all that cannot be denied here. We need to remember this song because too often church has been called a place too nice to talk about violence. Violence in the home or in relationship. And too often it has been a place where abusers have been given refuge in cloaks of responsibility and put on dignity in our institutions. So let me be clear. The church is called to be a place where we are all messy and incomplete and imperfect. We are all invited to be transformed into a part of God's justice. Church is not a shield for us to hide abuse or oppression. If any of these things have been true for you in your life, through our tradition, through the church, through our imperfect wander as we search for the way of love that Christ calls us on, the church owes you an apology, and it owes you better. So let me say, I'm sorry, and let me commit us to do better. We need to remember the belovedness and wonder of this psalm, this song, so that we can wake ourselves, that we might make sure that victims are not silenced or shamed or trapped by our thinking or theologizing. Because even more, this belovedness gives us not only the strength to stand for ourselves, it gives us the courage to stand for others. We stand in a world that is transactional in so many ways to insist that love or affection or indeed the very affirmation of our God-given worth should not be wielded like a weapon or a tool to leverage or manipulate another. We stand to struggle and create images of love and connection and family that do not bind one another into violent or oppressive gender expectations and roles. When I say this, you think women, but what I mean is I have a whole nother sermon about the terrible and intractable image of maleness that is torturing men and women alike in our society. We need to stand to affirm the LGBTQ plus community, recognizing that shame and isolation in those communities has too often been used as a weapon against them by partners or others. We stand to assert once and for all that love that exists to have power and control over another is not love. And love that hurts is violence, nothing more. We need to remember the words of this song because we need to stand together in it. Martin Luther King once said, "Don't ever think that you're by yourself. Go on to jail if necessary, but you never go alone. Take a stand for that which is right, and the world may misunderstand you and criticize you, but you never go alone, for somewhere I read that one with God is a majority." So the question to us is today and always is, will we be willing to join that majority? The hope of this psalm is that each of us is a miracle of God's creation and so beloved that God is never far from us. So if someone has told you that you are alone, you are not. If someone has told you that you are worthless, you are beyond worth. If someone has told you that you are not worthy of love, you were made before you even had been conceived for love. I need you to hear this song, these words, and believe them because you are the miracle of God that has been placed here in this room today. And I need you to hear these words and believe them so that we might share that belief, that hope, and that belovedness with so many others who desperately need to hear them. One with God is a majority. What will we all be? The psalmist says, "I come to the end, I am still with you." Held, called, comforted by the unending love of God, let us never stop until all the world may lay claim to that same promise that was made before we were even formed in secret. You miracles of God, you beloved, you. Amen.